You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hello, my fabulous friends, and welcome to yet another instance of Sex Talk, also known as Loveline. I'm your host, DJ Carnival 5000, back from vacation, yeah, on the glorious West Coast. And in the studio with me, I have Dawson, Joey, and Jen. Dawson and Joey are returning from a previous instance of Loveline. Due to popular demand, they are here once again to share their fabulous sexual secrets with us all. In the studio earlier, we were talking about what a pathetic, horrible nightmare Carnival was for the entire campus community. I believe nobody got laid. Is that true, Dawson?
Completely. Nobody on this entire campus.
Nobody got any kind of sexual activity at all, and it was really painful to see. I mean, we had such high expectations. Even with the John Spencer Blues explosion, a well-known aphrodisiac, apparently nobody actually got any nookie, and everybody's pretty bitter about it. And so tonight, we thought we'd address that problem by offering some more relationship advice, since this campus so crucially needs it. And Dawson, Joey, and Jen are going to tell us all about it. So, welcome. Thanks for joining us. So, the key bit of relationship advice that I need is that I find, you know, I've been in hundreds, possibly even thousands of relationships in my life, and
have you?
I have, in fact. Well. And what I find when I meet somebody new is that I can't tell if they're being honest with me or if they're playing games. You know, and people have all kinds of strange techniques when they get involved in relationships. And I was going to turn to my relationship experts to help illuminate some of these problems. Jen, Joey, can you? You've been around the block at least a couple of times.
40, now, 50 times.
Not like myself. I mean, of course, you know, for someone who works in my field, being as attractive as I am, people magnetize to me. And, of course, I can't help but be in a lot of relationships. But even ordinary people such as yourself still have some degree of sexual activity. I mean, am I wrong?
High amounts, vast amounts of sexual activity.
And so I was hoping that you could actually shed some lights on some either the relationships you've been in or games you've played or games people have played on you. Perhaps you could give our listeners some examples of these things so that we may all share and learn from this experience. So, for example, manipulation.
Oh, dear.
Now, let me just create a scenario for you. Dawson, Joey, or Jen, you and I get into a relationship, let's say, and you want to create an aura of mystery about yourself. What might you do?
I think for the first 2 weeks, you make sure that you're really well put together. You're always well dressed. You're always very well groomed. Always have just enough cologne on, but not too much. You always make sure that your hair is always done. You practice your dialogue so that you always have something witty to say.
Really?
Make sure that you're always surrounded by like incredibly attractive people, and you create this air of mystique. And then after they're hooked, you sort of like taper off, and then they're like obsessed with you, and then they're just kind of pathetic because like you're this slug back to normal, and you're like, ha ha ha, I've got them.
Yeah, like the key is basically to hide all of your major character flaws right in the beginning, so they think you are a god or a goddess, and they don't find out about the true you until it's too late, and they've already been captured, mystified.
Now, why do you do this? Because you want them, or because you want them to want you?
Yeah, both.
Really? So how might we meet? We might meet at a frat party, say, right?
We always go back to that scenario. Why is it always the frat party?
It's where I've met most of my relationships.
There's no need for mystification at a frat party.
Yeah.
The unmystifiable shall not be mystified.
Well, but so wherever we met, you're looking your best. You're wearing some fabulous outfit. Maybe your belly button's exposed.
Of course.
You're looking really good. And I'm like, wow. Jen, are you Jen? No, you're Joey.
Joey.
Wow, Joey's so hot. I want her. And then so, you of course don't date me right away, right? Because that would just be too. I have to like totally crave you for a couple of weeks.
Exactly, because you got to build up the expectation.
And so, how do you do that? I mean, do I send you mail that you don't answer?
Well, I wouldn't be that calculated about it, but I would say definitely keep that that mystery, that suspense, so that they're always left wanting a little bit more than you've given them.
Wow.
Because it keeps them coming back. If you give it all away, if you tell them about your crappy childhood and your terrible relationships and how you haven't had sex in, like, months and years, then
makes it
I'd walk.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but, Joey, when was the last time you hadn't had sex in months and years?
Never. I burst out of the womb having intercourse.
Fully sexually activated.
Right.
So, I mean, in my mind, doesn't sort of sharing these kind of painful personal details actually bring you closer?
Well, I think in a relationship where you meet someone that you're actually interested in sustaining a real relationship with, you want to be friendly and open and honest with the person.
That?
And that's only in very few instances. But I think for the most part, if you're interested in hooking up with someone and not much more, geek is the way to go.
By the way, I want to remind our fabulous listeners, the numbers, as always, are 621-WRCT and 268-WRCT.
Call in.
Those
ask us questions.
Letters stand for 9728.
Call me.
621-9728. So how do you know at the outset of a relationship whether it's going to be a real relationship filled with honesty?
Because it's like how you meet, and maybe if you've noticed the person before, you've had your eye on them, you're looking to pursue something more meaningful, you know what you want at that moment. Like, there have been times where I've just been like, okay, I know that I only want a hookup, or I know that I'm definitely looking to get into a relationship. And, like, based on, I guess, wherever you are.
Generally, if you meet at a party, it's not a it's not a relationship thing. It's going to be a horizontal fucking evening.
Yeah, sometimes you think about when you meet someone, like, you might want to get involved with them, and then you think about beforehand how you're going to get out of that. And then if it's that kind of thing, then you already know that you want to play games.
Wait, I'm confused. Before you've even gotten into it, you're already planning how to get out of it?
Right, because you got to have that smooth escape, you know,
I've met
the back door
before.
Open so you can get out.
So, I mean, what is this? Do you hint at some kind of chronic or, you know, life-threatening disease? Or
No, that doesn't get you in bed.
No, you mystify them, so they think you're a goddess. Mm-hmm. And then
You reveal that you're horrible, and
you think you're this goddess, right? And after 2 weeks of getting booty, and you're bored, right? And you want to move on to either the next conquest, or you just need some time to recoup, right?
Right.
Then you start showing them I don't want to say your true self, but like picture yourself on laundry day after you've pulled an all-nighter and you look like crap and your hair is oily and your clothes are dirty and you smell bad and you're in a terrible mood.
Yeah, you kind
like,
of
that's
act
a
like
good
a...
way to get out
or
of it.
Or you can play honest and pretend like, you know.
Play honest?
Yeah.
Like, you pretend can, you like know, you're being honest.
You can say, you know, I've just, it's been a really rough time for me and I'm going to let you in on how things are really going for me. I need time for this and I know, you know, I really like you. I think you're really great.
It's not you, it's me. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh
you
my God, I love
and
that
And they
line.
Feel so
things
guilty
really
about it and they want to be
right
your
now.
Friend and you come out clean.
No, but I hate
but
that line. I just want to be friends. Because I've had that line used on me.
Well, you can manipulate the person in such a way that after you're done with your sob story, they will suggest that you just be friends. But it was really what you wanted to say to begin
yeah,
with.
Yeah, that's true. And then you can, like, bust out with all, like, the deep, dark secrets, but you got to make them up.
Yeah, see, you got to, yeah, all right, so you...
Talk about how, like, I don't know.
Used
like what?
To, I don't know, used to have a fetish for, like, killing small animals.
And... Right, right.
Are you yeah. serious?
Oh, totally. No.
I mean, you say...
You can scare them off really easily. People are very easily spooked.
Oh, definitely. People are very, very easily scared.
You could
turn another what? Way to turn them off really fast is go like crazy, full out obsessive on them.
Mm-hmm.
Where like you
be
call
like, I love
five
you.
Minutes, I love you. I've already named our children and our dogs, and they'll be running away.
And if that and if they do and if that back that can backfire on you, so if they're like I love you too, then like the best possible recourse I think would be to. Respond to that with like maniacal screaming and have
pull out
your
a knife.
And no, have your roommate come in, tell them that you need your medication, sir, that kind of thing.
Okay, now
your
hold on. Have you actually ever done what you're talking about right now?
Oh yeah.
Oh come on.
No, on multiple occasions. Like it's really.
So well,
the problem is you have to make sure that like the word doesn't get around.
Well, that's it. I was going to ask about what's the reputation effect.
Well,
of
I've had experience with this. Because it's very important when being a player to keep good relationship with all of the people who you are playing, all the
players.
Right.
If you just want to play, make sure you keep good relations. Because once they start talking, then it's all over for you. Mm-hmm. Got to make sure you're still friends with everybody, which is why it's best to give out, like, to tell your sob story and have them, you know, say maybe it would be better if we were just friends for a while to give you time to get yourself together. And then you're on your merry way, and they still think, you know, that they were, you know, they were helping you.
So they,
I totally agree
they think
with
they
that.
Dodged a bullet.
Yeah. I would. Yeah. In fact, like, I would say the majority of the time, I would rather force. A guy to break up with me than to break up with him because you're still coming out smelling really good, you know,
right?
Right? Like you're just
despite it being marked.
Right, like you do whatever you kind of like cool things off a bit and after a while they start getting the hint and then they'll come to you and say, you know what, I think we should end this and you're like, oh really? And you know then it just kind of and they look good because they broke it off,
right?
But like you
look
good
because you weren't mean about it.
Yeah, you're like a good girl still and the reputation is unblemished
and then we're
you've
still
never
friends.
Faked crying, have you?
Faked
a tear just to add some
no
authenticity to the
I faked other things but not a tear.
Yeah, faked a tear.
Well, what do you mean fake
yeah.
it? Specifically what? You're talking about
can I say
orgasm?
That O word on the air?
Orgasm? I
you
don't
can
know.
Say
I think
that
we
word.
Can say orgasm.
She's giving us form. A nod, yes.
That's somewhat yes. disdainful nod.
So, really?
What happened?
No, oh, go on, I forget.
What? So I'm fascinated by this. Well, so, to what degree do you think the other person... I mean, maybe they're a player, too. Maybe they're trying to get out of this relationship at the same time you are.
That's
maybe they're
always fun. Like, I always go... Sometimes I specifically go for the players, and there's a playing game to see who's the better player. I've been involved in that before, and it's never spoken about, but you both
no,
know what
you both
doing.
Know it's there, and you do what you do, and you know it's there.
It's like, who's going to win? And it's like a sexual, witty kind of battle.
But it's also everybody wins because it's never spoken of. And, you know, if one person says, I played this other person, then it all comes out and it's all over for
right.
the original player. So.
Oh, the one thing I was going to say about being a player is always you always have to make sure that you're at peak performance so that if anything ever gets out, like, so that if word of your relationships ever get out, you know, it's at least somewhat positive.
Right.
So player, where is all this stuff defined? I mean, is there some sort of... manual that I can look at. In order to,
I,
mean,
I swear you, I should write a book, though.
This whole subculture of people I know nothing about. You're all like
just playing,
interacting.
You want some examples?
Yes.
Let's think. Let's reveal some trade secrets here. Okay, this is what
the walk home.
This is what
no,
I always
no,
did in
no.
high school. This is what I did in high school.
Okay.
So you started out. You know. I don't normally reveal this about myself to most people, but I'm going to tell you because I trust you. and I think you're a really great guy. Blah, blah, blah. And you bust into whatever. And you
some inane,
like, and it can either be made up or true, whatever. That's your choice.
My
but, like,
personal.
They feel so special that you've let them in on it.
Are you serious?
My personal favorite is to be the dominatrix and say, have you ever, and then throw out something totally outrageous. Then they're so awestruck that you actually, first of all, said the thing, and second of all, it implies that you've done the thing, that they want to do the thing, and they want to do it with you, and they want to learn from all of your secrets. Then you have them hooked, because they think there's a whole conquest out there.
See,
well, really,
yes,
they're just going to do whatever you
the
want.
Secret weapon.
My personal talking is, like, act stoic and, like, removed and emotionally void, and that way when finally you show any form of, like, caring, and it doesn't even have to be real, it can be contrived caring, you, they feel like they've cracked the surface, and they're gonna get to the real you.
So this is the thing you're telling me about before, where at first you tell somebody, "I never cry. I'm all cried out."
I never.
Right, and then you finally do, and they're just like so. They've moved.
Yeah, then you fake cry.
So, I mean, then you fake.
You fake orgasm,
right.
And it's all over.
Wow.
I want to share a story, though.
Oh, please
this
do.
This is a really dude. This scarred me. Okay.
Tell us.
Okay, sorry. Okay. 7th grade, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a fragile time. And this is a story
about...
You
lost about... your virginity.
No, shut
you lost
oh,
your virginity
God.
In 7th grade?
No, I didn't.
No.
I was in 6th grade. No,
out of the womb. Here we
okay, this was the first time I got played, and it made me... It was the only time I got played, because I was mad.
Played?
So I had this boyfriend at the time, Mr. Jerky, I don't know, whatever, Mr. X. And my best friend, this girl named Susie. So Susie and I are best friends, and one day Mr. X comes over, and he and Susie and I go sneak down into the neighborhood to smoke some cigarettes, because we're 7th graders, and that's pretty cool to do. And we go in this, like, underground tunnel down in my neighborhood, and we're hanging out, and I'm walking on ahead, and I can't hear them following me. And I wait, and they come up later, and I didn't think anything of it. But then, like, later that night, I found out that that he had tried to kiss her in, like, the little darkened tunnel while he was going out with me. And she didn't tell me until later, and, like, he never told me. But it was really sad, because I totally got played.
Joey,
yes.
That's a really bad story.
No, but when you're a 7th grader and
that
your
really
best friend and your boyfriend.
Are you playing her? That's so cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your best
no.
friend
no.
and your boyfriend
school,
are totally,
my
like,
best
playing
boyfriend.
You. And it's and it was really sad.
I'm sorry.
And it scarred me.
When
no.
I was,
and
I
never cry. But I'm going to cry now.
When I was in high school, I went out with my best friend's boyfriend, and I realized now that it was a mistake, but it seemed like the thing to do.
Yeah, but like, you know, then you're like the ultimate player, and
well,
he really was a player, but I got played, and it made me really angry and really mean, and so
once,
after
what?
That, I didn't have any qualms about playing
once
anybody.
Once people are played, they either
yeah,
become players or plays, and you either become spineless or you become a hardcore player.
Players or plays, you're forgetting the entire, I mean, there's a large group of people like myself who are like the rejected messes who
are,
you
are
played.
You get played.
You
no,
get played.
That
yeah.
never happens. No, I'm ignored.
What
I'm rejected.
Do you do?
Nothing.
Do
I stay home and watch
Why
television.
Why don't you practice playing?
I thought you
well,
said...
you know, I don't think I'm a... It's just, I think I'm the 8th ugliest student on this campus. I've decided that, first of all.
That's
ugliest.
An achievement, I have to say.
Producer Kate is too
ugly.
Eight? That's not true, though. I've seen you in a bathing suit. You're very attractive, actually. Oh, really? Okay. Sorry.
No,
okay.
I think once, it, yeah, I'm assuming once you've been played, but it's only if you've been played in a really mild way, so you turn around, then...
Ooh. I know. Getting played is, like, the worst feeling, but when you're playing somebody, you forget what it was like that one time that you got played, and all
yes.
you think about is the power that
the
you
power
have.
Power that you have.
And it's awesome. It's a real rush.
But it's not after everything, because on the off chance, which is what happened to me, that the relationship became serious... And it all came out. This is what had happened.
That's
then,
true.
You know, I really hurt my friend. And even though we're really good friends now, and everything turned out for the best, I wouldn't do it again. Not so good friends.
Yeah, like I'm saying, all this playing stuff, I would never do it if it was somebody that I was involved with seriously or wanted to be involved with seriously. Because, like Jenna's saying, it can get complicated if you play them in the beginning, and then you actually do fall for them, and the truth comes out that you played them.
Yeah. I just have so many questions. But we have a caller, so I can suppress my
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, woo!
Yes,
hello,
baby.
Caller.
Hello, caller. Are you on the air?
Yeah, I am.
Welcome.
Welcome to you.
Can we turn that up a little?
Do you have a question?
I'm going to ask our producer to pump up the volume a little bit. And do you have a question or comment for our...
Yeah, I got a comment. You guys are talking about players, kind of glorifying it. There's no such thing as a real player. Players are just real lonely, pathetic, hurt people, and they end up playing themselves in general.
Well, I'm not saying that, like, you're a nice person if you play people. You're really not. You're manipulating, calculated, cold, and out for yourself.
I wouldn't even give it that much. You know, I wouldn't even, you know, glorify it that much. I mean, it's just... It's more instinctual than anything else. I mean, it takes a lot of guts.
You think being a player is instinct?
Say again?
You think to be a player, it's like an instinctual thing?
For a lot of guys, it can be, and I know for a lot of women, it can be too.
So I'd like to ask the caller whether he considers himself a player, a playee, or none of the above.
I'm a hoe. No, none of the above. Just a nice guy, I guess.
Have you ever been played or played someone?
Yeah, I've been played. The girl who played me was a pathological liar.
It's hard
when you run into these people, because when you face them with the facts, you know, you see how crippled and vulnerable they really are.
Didn't it make you, did it at any point make you want to go out and play someone?
Yeah. I mean, there are all types of different cycles of, you know, abuse and misuse and stuff like that. There's just another one. I mean, there's
I don't see it as like abusive or like, you know,
abusive.
It's like you're lacking somehow that you use playing to make up for it. I mean, above and everything else, it's fun sometimes.
I think it's emotionally abusive. And I think the type of person who would see
Okay, so you're crossing over the line between like what is playing and what's being abusive. And I don't, when I'm
I think
playing
that
somebody,
I'm
I agree with you there, but I think that in a lot of cases, player meets player, and it's kind of a little game to see, you know, who plays who. And as long as everybody knows that people are both playing, you know, then
right,
I think it's
right.
Okay, and it's
I
not
mean,
abusive.
Your definition of player, what exactly is your definition of playing someone?
And along with that question, I'd like to ask you, can player one always accurately see whether player two is really playing or not? I mean, maybe you're abusing somebody innocent, and... Don't even know it.
Well, I think players are attracted to other players.
Although I think it tends to be relatively
obvious. Oh, I know a lot of players that are attracted to very sweet, innocent-looking people.
Yeah,
I've seen that too, but a lot of times they like the challenge.
Yeah, it's relatively obvious when you're doing
it. It's a challenge. It's also the pleasure of corrupting someone who's new and pure.
Well, that's different.
Well, I mean, like your question, what is a player?
Yeah.
I would think, if I were to give a definition, I would say a player who... uses some sort of angle, some sort of game, isn't really taking things too seriously, but it's all about witty banter, having fun,
so
making yourself
attractive.
So basically
a guy who just likes to pick up chicks or a girl who likes
What's
to pick
that?
Up guys.
What's that?
Basically a guy who's flirtatious or a girl who's flirtatious. That's a player.
I think it's a little bit, it's like flirting is like the beginning of a player, but if you, flirting can be very innocent. It's taking
that's very innocent.
One step further, I would say. It's a little, I don't want to say meaner than that, but it's a little more calculated.
I think it's to try and be the, I think it's whoever.
I thought it was having sex with a lot of people, but.
Being a player is to try and get sex?
No, that's just.
In some terms, yeah, it depends on your, just by asking your definition. For a lot of people, a definition of a player is someone who goes out looking to score. Definition of a player is someone who goes out just looking for affection from as many women as he can get. Attention.
Yeah, I think the stereotype is definitely a player is just trying to get laid, but, I mean, that's not my goal if I'm going out intention of playing games.
Well, I think there's a difference between the stereotypical player, who's someone that goes out and tries to have sex with multiple people, and someone who just wants to play games, and maybe we shouldn't call that person a player. Pardon?
What are games?
I think manipulation and flirtation games where the direct goal is not always to have sex with multiple people.
How much can you attract your prospect to you in the quickest amount of time?
Without being attracted to them.
It doesn't matter. You can, most of the time, the people I have played in the past, I have been attracted
it's
to.
It's an attitude about
because
how far you're going to let
things
go.
I think you need
go.
That. I think you need that attraction to want to move forward, you know, and pursue something.
Now, you see, it's kind of interesting. I used to know a lot of people who would do the same thing that you did. And they always, you know, at the end of it...
I'm sorry, you went sub-audible for the first half of that, so we didn't hear what you said.
I know a lot of people. You know, as a matter of fact, I used to do the same thing. That do what you do.
Right.
But it's like towards the end. It's like the ultimate, almost like the orgasm of it, the final climax of it is
right.
breaking up with them and having no attachment and just shocking the shit out, or shocking the heck out of them?
Well, I mean,
do you do that?
We were talking about
how to get out of it, like, because sometimes playing is a one-night thing. If you meet somebody at a party and you're playing and it's flirtatious, that could that pretty much, like, there's a way out. It's like you wake up, you know, but...
I must admit, though, that as far as the breakup goes, if it's been a long-term thing, like if you've been trying to attract this individual for a long period of time, one thing about the breakup is a sudden withdrawal of your affection towards them, and there's a certain desire to want to have them keep being attracted to you even after you've ended everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a confession, and this is like a really sick personality trait. But sometimes I'll flirt with people that I have heard through the grapevine are attracted to me to make them be more attracted to me, even though I have no interest in them. I don't know why. I think it's really, like, a bad thing on my part, you know? I think it's really shallow of me.
But, like, when you're doing this action, who are you fooling? Or what is the fixation, rather?
Why?
Yeah.
Being wanted, being...
desired.
Thought of as beautiful or intelligent or whatever. I mean, it's getting your ego stroked.
Can't you satisfy your own complexes?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, but I think that it sometimes no, and that's why my ego feeds off of that. You know, maybe if I'm feeling down about myself, I'll go out and flirt with somebody, a friend of mine who maybe has some interest in me, just so I can get some sort of internal need satiated.
And then all of a sudden when they ask her, they wonder why, how come she's not being as flirtatious as she was, they get hurt and in turn have to go out and do the
same thing. I agree. I don't think it's a nice thing to do.
It's being a social vampire.
Vampire?
I want to talk about drawing blood.
That's another discussion.
Actually, that's not a bad discussion.
Drawing blood. I had my first experience with blood drawing.
Oh. During sex?
What?
Not during sex, but during sexual act.
Like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh. So let's actually go into that. I want to actually thank the caller for a bunch of thought-provoking questions, and I'm actually going to follow up on one of those questions because it involves a movie I just saw, In the Company of Men.
Oh, great.
Which involves, if you haven't seen it, these two guys who make it a sport to deliberately emotionally trash the most vulnerable person they can find, and they do. But so let's talk about that. Caller, thanks for calling. I will continue the grilling here on the studio, but before I do, I would like to read a public service announcement for the benefit of our listeners. Genital warts pose a threat. Excuse me, this is a very important public service announcement. Genital warts pose a threat to every sexually active man and woman. Millions have genital warts. Few seek help. There's no cure, but there is treatment. To find out what you can do about genital warts and other STDs, call the American Social Health Association for a free brochure, 1-800-677-4100. The genital warts are a lot less scary when you know what you're dealing with.
That was intriguing. Well.
Also, if any other callers, please call in. The studio lines are 621-9728 and 268-9728. We also have a website, of course, http://loveline.wrct.com. Jen.
I'm Jen.
Jen.
Yes.
Jen. Vampirism, good or bad?
Well, it depends. It depends. Can social, be good and can be vampire. Bad.
No, so you said you had a sexual act involving the drawing of blood. I mean, that can't be. That's got to be more unsafe than genital warts. Which, by the way,
I feel much better now.
Which there is treatment for.
There is treatment, but there is no cure. 1-800-677-4100. That's the American Social Health Association. And remember, are genital warts scary? Yes, but they're a lot less scary when you know what you're dealing with.
So get a brochure. It's free.
It's free. So, what do you mean? You were having sex? And there was
no, blood? I wasn't having sex, but there was sexual activity.
What kind of sexual activity?
Rough sexual activity.
How rough?
Was clothing
shed? Is this with
shed?
A woman?
No, this is with a man. Well, a boy.
Have you ever been with a woman?
Yes.
All right.
Did this involve, like, mouths and stuff?
Yes.
Did it involve oral sex?
Suppress.
There's too many questions at once.
Suppress oral sex?
She's giving the glare.
Okay.
This is not a pull. I want you to tell the story in a linear fashion. Paint us a vivid word picture so that put us there.
You're at a frat party.
No. Basically, the night was, or the act was progressing and things were going on, nothing major, and then the male decided that it wasn't enough for him and that he wanted to be a little more rough.
The male?
Male. I'm not revealing any names.
The alpha male.
The male.
Oh, so you were actually in it. You're having various kinds of sex. It was all vaguely pleasing, but somehow his urge to destroy wasn't.
Yes,
it
was
satisfied.
A little more than I was providing, and so he thought it would be fun to torture me, I guess, until I decided to give in.
Interesting.
And torture you how?
Just proceeded to bite me. And that sounded very crude. He proceeded to bite me and drew blood.
Bite you where?
Anywhere from my ears to the...
neither region of the female body?
What?
Rib area.
Oh. No lower, though?
No.
I liked my story better.
You know, but, like, seriously, there are guys who... and girls, I guess, who really get off on being bitten, being scratched.
Well, I do. I mean, I...
being
sometimes. Being spanked?
No.
Being peed on, which
no,
I'm sure you could
No, let's not
tell
talk
about
that either. I do get pleasure from being bitten or scratched, but not to the point of drawing blood.
No,
and I lost sensation for a while after this incident.
Oh my gosh, there was probably nerve damage.
May have been nerve damage.
Actually, as a regular viewers of the show know, I was flogged and electrically shocked two weeks ago in my very first BDSM experience, which was captured
serious?
On film.
Are you serious?
If you listen to the show, you'd know.
Oh my gosh.
People are so unfaithful.
Hmm. Yes, Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was fabulous, actually.
You know, I was just going to mention that there was some sort of fetish party over Carnival weekend.
Oh, no, that was different.
Or maybe it was the weekend before that.
The weekend before Carnival.
I heard about this, and of
course
I was
not invited. Several people who were saying that they had been flogged and spanked for the first time and very much enjoyed it.
I met someone who hammered nails into his nipples.
Ooh, see, I'm not ready for that.
I'm not ready.
And it's supposed to be, it's like the new thing to do now, like... screw up your body, cause damage to yourself, make yourself bleed or your partner bleed, and that you'll have the most intense orgasm ever. I don't get it.
No, I had no extreme intensity.
So this flogging, I actually was bruised for several days after, but not...
But was it pleasurable?
It was great, actually. I was surprised. See, the thing was, here's the thing. My friend is doing some kind of film class for CFA, and I was actually a character in his movie about... I was a priest, okay? And... we've already talked about this on the radio, so I don't want to preach it too much. But I was a priest who was being blackmailed, and this person, my blackmailer, shows me the photographs and says, you know, I've got the photographs of you in this compromising position. And then I have a flashback to the compromising position, which is me being flogged. Mm. And so we filmed the flogging scene where Ralph, our friend Ralph, actually did the flogging. And it was real. You know, I was lying on my – I was sort of kneeling on the floor, lying over on this table, and he was – pounding at me with various...
Are you intimately involved with Ralph?
Most of my upper back, mostly. No, I'm not intimately involved in Ralph.
So it wasn't Ralph, it was the flogging?
Mostly
and
the flogging.
And it's hurt, right?
It hurt.
Like a whip or...
Yeah, so a flog is it looks kind of like a graduation tassel, if you will.
Like
it's bigger, but it's exactly. And but it's made of leather, little strips or cord or, you know, whatever it's made of. Different things have different...
How many times were you flogged?
Well, I was there for about half an hour. He was pounding at me. It was getting harder and harder. And in fact, he never actually did it hard enough. I was actually ready for a lot more punishment. But since it was my first time, he was taking it easy.
Gentle dominator.
And the other great thing was he had the violet wand, which is this device that you plug in, and it imparts the static electricity. It has a static electric charge that it charges itself with. So you can either rub that over somebody's body and little sparks jump from it to your skin, or you can attach, which is what he did, is he attached it to himself, and then his hand became a source of sparks. Everywhere he would touch me, it would be like these sparks would jump from his fingers and
what does it look
stimulate
like?
Me. The device is on it. It doesn't look very interesting. It's just
probably stole it from the site
in.
Lab.
You can buy these things at sort of bondage stores or whatever.
Bondage stores, those are fun.
You know, and so, but that was really intense because he would like talking about scratching. He would scratch my back, and I would get the double feeling of being scratched and the spiky, intense feeling of the shocks going through my back. And then he started massaging my buttocks with his like hands, and that was actually really.
Is he homosexual?
I don't think so. I think he's just very open-minded. In fact, we can ask him now because he's on the phone. Ralph, are you there?
Howdy.
Hi,
it's
Ralph.
Amazing. You know, whenever I summon you, you appear. So how's it going? And are you homosexual, Ralph?
The I am somewhere between head and bi. I'm not totally straight, but I'm mostly straight.
And what have you called to share with us tonight?
I heard y'all talking about the flogging, and I wanted to join the conversation.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Were you sexually aroused when you were flogging the DJ?
Not sexually aroused.
See, that's my problem. I'm the eighth ugliest person on this campus. Don't sexually arouse anybody.
But you were sexually aroused.
I was definitely sexually aroused.
Well, that's what matters.
I did not have an erection, mm-hmm. but I found it very enjoyable. Ralph didn't hit me hard. I've been hinting that Ralph needs to do this again for me, although he does not answer my mail anymore. I don't know what's going on.
I've been busy.
I'm sorry. I've been pleased by the hints, and...
You've been what?
Would be interested in making that happen.
I've heard these excuses before. I've been busy. I don't cry.
I never tell this to anyone.
We've been there. None of these excuses work, Ralph.
Are you a player, Ralph?
Unfortunately, I think I missed that part of the conversation. I wouldn't consider myself a player.
Ralph, how many times have you flogged people? Do you have a lot of flogging experience?
I have a fair bit of flogging experience.
Do you have a lot of flogging equipment?
He does. I can vouch for that.
You want to come over?
Where do you live? Just kidding.
I own 4 floggers. These days, I have not gotten... Like, in the last several years, I've been involved with people in primary relationships who have not been much into flogging. So... I haven't gotten to do nearly as much flogging as I might like.
Wait, so you prefer only to flog, or do you like to be flogged as well?
I like to be flogged as well.
Huh.
Hmm.
And that was part of why I wanted to flog Corey, because I wanted to give him, for his first time, the sort of flogging experience that I like to have.
Which was gentle?
A slow build-up so that I can
really
process it and let the endorphins happen.
So are you implying that you would like the DJ to flog you?
Maybe eventually.
Interesting.
DJ, how would you feel about flogging someone?
Maybe I'm just selfish, but I've discovered in most of my sexual activity, I prefer to be the one to be the degraded one, the bottom.
Okay, see, like, I don't understand S&M at all, so you guys have to tell me, like, what it is that turns you on, because, okay, scratch, bite, la, 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 right, okay, so that's commonplace, but the beating, the slapping, punching, kicking, vampire... No, tying up's different, but, like, I don't understand... where the sexual pain or sexual pleasure and the physical pain are linked. I don't understand why people get off on this stuff, so maybe you could explain that to me.
Well, okay, so it's not necessarily sexual. In many ways, what I was trying to do for the DJ was comparable to a really deep, intense massage.
An intense what? I'm sorry?
Massage.
Oh, massage?
Yeah.
It actually was.
Okay, there's like a difference between a massage and taking leather whips and...
Well, that's just because you don't know. Actually, as everybody that was in I was being filmed for this CFA film. As everybody
when did we get to see the movie, by the way?
Well, actually, it was supposed to be in the film festival that was last week.
Yeah.
But we didn't get the...
Maybe next year.
They were really abusive to us, and they didn't let us... The film had to go...
Why didn't you flog him?
It's a long story, but the deadline for them viewing the submissions was the same as the class deadline, and so the director couldn't submit the film to both places on the same day. But as people can attest to, it was actually incredibly relaxing. And after this flogging, I was just so pleased. There was this feeling of euphoria.
You were glowing.
And well-being. I'm sorry, what was that, Ralph?
You were glowing.
Glowing, exactly. I was very happy, and so it was actually very similar to the feeling of a full body massage, which I've had, of this just general overall feeling of well-being and euphoria and relaxation in your body.
So it's kind of like a drug.
Yeah, a natural.
Yeah.
But you don't bleed.
I didn't bleed as far as I know. Ralph might know better than I did bruise a little bit, and I was definitely ready to go twice as hard as Ralph was hitting me.
I don't get it.
It
just doesn't appeal to me.
Well, you're gonna have to try it.
But I haven't tried it, yeah. So maybe I'll get a massage.
I don't know. Is it a
what
man?
What are you doing after this?
Yo, Ralph, are you on your way?
What?
You're coming over, right?
Hello, Ralph.
Jen's bringing the lube. You bring the whips.
Yeah, Jen, you have a fixation with Astroglide. Is that
yeah,
right?
Let's, yeah.
Yeah, what?
It's a personal favorite.
WRCT does not condone any particular brand of sexual lubricant. However, you can talk about Astroglide as your personal favorite.
It's
facilitating.
It's wonderful.
Astroglide is a very fine lube.
Is it?
Actually, I just bought this lube.
Do you prefer that to KY?
Oh, definitely.
Well, no sane person uses KY. But I just bought Falcon lube at this. You know, there's an adult bookstore in Monroeville. I don't know if you've ever been there.
No. Yes, that's right. I know where it is. It's called Flex. Yes.
Right by the, what is it near? It's near the Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Yes, it's near PNC.
Another fine establishment.
Wow.
And so I bought two kinds of lube there, and one was really annoying because every time you would pump it out of the pump, it would leave these strings. You'd pull your hand away.
No, that's not good.
That was disgusting. But Falcon lube was totally perfect, very slippery.
See, I always,
did it taste good?
Yeah, it actually tastes
good. Somebody used like a flavored body lube on me that as you applied it to the skin, it warmed up and it heated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was actually pretty cool. Yeah, because you get the temperature, the flavor, and the liquids.
Do those irritate your membranes?
It wasn't actually used in. It was more for massage of the body and not specifically for the genital area. But I think it was okay to use there.
Yes, because I was gonna say that a burning sensation in
well,
the genital
burning,
area
it was
usually
warm.
Indicative of an STD.
You'd like that. I mean,
so. Well,
well, that too. But Brady, if we tied you down and say applied. what did I just say? Dawson.
I'd like to mention my own favorite lube of the moment.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is a product called Liquid Silk. And the nice thing about Liquid Silk is that it doesn't get sticky as it dries out.
I've heard about
it. I thought
this.
You said liquid soap.
No, it's like motion lotion.
Motion Joy Jetly. So, Jen, have you ever used other types of liquid in your sexual experiences? Not necessarily lube, but maybe... of the food variety?
Personally, I prefer popsicles and ice. I like the cold sensation as well as the liquid.
Can you actually penetrate with popsicles?
Oh, yeah.
Is that
yes.
Like, hygienically
No,
safe?
It can cause the YEAST infection kind of thing?
Yeah.
It can cause one of those, but...
Really?
Yes.
How does
because it's sugar. Sugar. You want to keep sugar. But if you make ice popsicles by using one of those make-it-yourself popsicle things
with
ice.
Oh, that's smart.
Mm-hmm.
What?
No, I don't think that.
What about NutraSweet? What about, the diet popsicles?
Yeah, well, aspartame does really horrible things to your insides.
You can't
really.
So I don't think that,
I personally don't approve NutraSweet.
You know what somebody told me about is you take, a breath, not like a breath thing, but like a cough drop that clears like a Halls or something.
Oh, yes, yes.
The girl puts the menthol cough drop in her mouth and sucks on it while she performs
fellatio,
right? And that it's supposed to be really,
really,
really intense.
Wow.
Yeah. Never
I'll
done
have
it,
to make a mental
I've
note
heard.
Of that.
I have heard stories about the use of Bengay as a lubricant.
No.
About what?
Bengay. Icy hot.
Oh, ouch. No. That's not good at all.
No.
Well, I prefer, Hershey syrup is really good.
It's
so is honey because you get not only, the good flavor and the sticky kind of sexy fun, but you can never fully clean it off with your mouth, so you have to take a shower afterwards, and, that always sucks.
Yeah, you have a history with the... food items, don't you?
With food items? I guess if I were to say that I did have a fetish, food would probably be it, yeah.
I like food as well.
Because it's fun to eat, and, it's not, I don't want to say that, bodily secretions don't taste like cotton candy, but, sometimes... You like that chocolate flavor, and it just adds to the experience,
it's
It's
preferable to...
It's preferable to...
Your run-of-the-mill
generic.
So these ice pop, these ice dildos, if you will. I mean, are they not painful?
No,
no way.
No,
I don't know why I'm saying it. I don't know anything about this.
Definitely not. Ice is the way to go because
ice.
I'm not sure how graphic I can become.
I'm the best area. I like that. Yeah.
Once ice has been inserted, can inserted be used? Yes. It can melt, and then it's
it doesn't
water.
Like, I mean, like,
oh, it sort of oozes.
What about this sort
and
of
then it just kind of
runs. The problem with water is sometimes the water washes away your natural lubrication, which can make penetration
which
later
difficult.
Which is why
you have Astroglide.
Which is why some people say you can't have, it's hard to have sex in water in the shower.
But
whatever.
That's what Astroglide's for.
So you just keep it in the shower right next to the shampoo and the soap.
I keep it in my pocket at all times.
You're like,
oh, is Astroglide water-free, waterproof?
Water-soluble.
Astroglide is water-soluble.
Do you have some right there? I want to see your tube.
No, I do not. I have my tube is at home next to the bed.
Oh.
Ready for you.
Well, so what about the, you know, the cold, what about the cold winter effect where, you know, you lick a cold window and your tongue sticks to it? I mean, that's the thing that I'd be afraid of.
I've never had a tongue stuck anywhere on my body. Thank
well, no, I mean, like, I'm just afraid that
although, yeah,
this ice popsicle would stick to one of my interior membranes.
No, because it melts because of the heat from your body.
Yes.
And so it's not a problem.
No.
I should
no, it's quite a nice sensation. It's like an internal shower.
Has anybody... Interesting.
Sort of,
I mean, so what you want to do is take a mold of your own penis and then turn that into a positive mold and
right.
make a penis dildo of your own penis, and then you could actually experience having sex with yourself. This is only for men.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, what am I doing?
No, you're not doing anything. You're not involved.
Confusion has occurred.
But Brady and I, for example.
I'll stick to the popsicles.
Brady and I. I keep doing it. The Brady Bunch. After I watched The Brady Bunch,
I like to talk about sex.
I like to talk about sex, of course, because I've always had a crush on the middle character, Peter. Peter Brady.
Oh.
I'm so bad. So anyway.
So you're making a...
This is a joint effort. We're going to go...
What do you make it out of?
This could be like an art installation project.
No, they do
you know?
Breast casting. There's a breast casting party on Friday. Perhaps we could have like the male counterpart of that.
What do you make it out of?
I've actually made a plaster cast of my penis.
Do you want to?
I have the tools. Why would you want to?
No, I'm not sure plaster is something...
No, not plaster. Well, indeed, plaster would be a mistake. But, you know, make an ice penis.
But it would melt so quickly. You'd have to make it out of...
Well, your ice popsicles.
Like liquid nitrogen glass
or something.
Oh, God.
Dry ice.
Ouch.
No. Just getting like smokes pouring out of your genitals.
There's a common occurrence
no,
in many of us.
Oh,
the DJ is...
I'll point out that you can get a penis-shaped ice mold in adult bookstores.
They have ice molds at adult bookstores.
Wow.
And, in the shape
I need
of
to get to these adult bookstores.
Oh, we should definitely go. I'd like to fill my tub with Jell-O or pudding.
You have to.
That'd be really cool.
Like to.
Yeah, but wouldn't that, you know how you were talking about the whole sugar aspect of getting...
Y-E-A-S-T thing? Yes.
Yeah.
You'd have to cleanse yourself well, which is why you'd have to insert a lot of ice.
What about unflavored gelatin? Does that still have the yeast problem? You know, Nox, Blox?
Well, who wants to swim around
there
in Nox gelatin?
Yeah, that's true, right?
I want red,
that's
purple.
That's like beef stock swimming around your nest. I don't
that
know.
That sounds like a... vegan's nightmare, I don't know.
But it's like, you know, you're always, you play truth or dare, and the question always comes up, what's the kinkiest thing you've ever done? And I'm always embarrassed because I don't have anything to say, you know? I'm what if they're like, you know, sex in the backseat of a car, but that's nothing. That's like commonplace, you know?
I've had sex on a miniature golf course next to a highway.
You did what?
You
I had
did.
Sex on a miniature golf course next to a highway once.
When?
Oh, that's awesome.
What hole is it?
2 summers ago, 9.
9.
Whoa.
Yes, it was quite the event.
What was the theme of this particular hole? Was it a windmill or something?
It just looked like the place to be. It had a nice angle.
Oh.
The incline.
Yes.
Inclines. Definitely. You know what a friend of mine actually was saying earlier? He was noticing that the top floor of Baker has an incline. And wouldn't it be nice to have sex because you get that extra leverage, you know, right on the floor in Baker.
Like the second floor bathroom at Baker has that couch
that
in it.
Girls
that's definitely the place to
true.
Go.
That's true.
Oh, look.
Oh, really? Oh, we've got a call. Excellent. Did we lose Ralph or did we bring Ralph
I'm still here.
Okay. Ralph, we're going to put you on hold or maybe just hang up on you because we have to...
Sure, if you can hang up.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye, Ralph. Bye. Keep on flogging.
Right.
So I think there's another caller coming in there. If not, I have another question for Dawson.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, this is the Titty Committee.
The what?
The titty committee.
Titty committee.
Yeah, we're the breastcasting girls.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm in class with one of you guys, but I don't want to say who because then you'll know who I am.
Can I get my breasts cast?
I'm in class with a lot of my
penis cast. It's too late, but you can come to our show and so can everyone else.
Yeah, we were kind of plugging it for you guys.
Yeah, well, you plugged it wrong. That's why we called.
Oh, when is it?
It's Saturday.
Saturday night.
Saturday from 3 to 6 in the afternoon.
Where is it?
At the Instant Art Space, which is at 3714 Parkview Avenue.
Where the
heck is that? So how many sets of breasts do you actually have?
We have about 70.
70 pairs of breasts? Okay.
Yep. Can 70 pairs?
70 pairs of breasts?
Yeah.
I have a question.
That's 140
Are you guys, do you enjoy other women?
No.
So what was it like plastering all these breasts and seeing all these naked female breasts?
Like, at first it was kind of,
weird.
Weird, but, like, we've become so, like, immune to it that,
desensitized.
Like, tonight we cast, each other. And we're just kind of, like, walking around, we're like,
Wait,
so do you have the plaster on as we speak?
What's that?
Do you have the plaster on your breasts as we speak?
No, no.
Have you casted any male genitalia?
No, we haven't, but...
I want to do that.
I know, I heard that you did.
Actually, I did do that
to the breast show.
I did
we need the penis
myself,
show.
But what I really want to do is cast Dawson's penis and possibly involve Ben Gay as well.
You want to involve Ben Gay?
No.
These are multiple fantasies, of course, but I think a penis casting would be really great. And actually, I've done...
Well, you're really unoriginal by saying that.
Why? Which part?
Because every single guy...
You just got
you can't say that word on the radio.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
You just got
you can't say that word on the radio.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Or else they were like, you know, well, how come you won't cast Marches?
Well, so, unoriginal, but, I mean, were they just saying that to be stupid, or would they actually do it? Because men are so shy, actually, when it comes down
to
actually
doing it. Wouldn't that hurt, though, when you're pulling?
I don't know. I don't think you could do it because of the hair.
That's what I was going to say. You'd have to, like, really
shave it off.
You could shave it off.
So, what technology do you use to cast it?
Technology? Well, we have these lasers.
Oh, come on. I mean, the thing that I did, there was actually this two-level. I made a negative mold in latex, and then I poured the plaster into the negative mold and made a positive mold again. Is that the kind of thing you do, or is there something different?
We use, like, these plaster, the kind of stuff that you make casts, like, they used to make casts with them for your arms, if you broke your arm or something.
Right.
You put those on.
So it's a direct...
Then you fill them with wax. Or you can fill them with latex, too, but...
What color are they?
They're kind of all different colors.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a potpourri of rainbow breasts.
Yep.
Can you see the nipples? Can I see nipples?
Yep.
Did the individual get to choose their own color, or was that sort of your artistic liberty?
So, like,
we just kind of mixed.
What was the purpose, though, of, like, the whole breast thing? Because I know women have lots of issues about breasts.
Yeah, I think it's just dealing with all those issues that women have with breasts, like the fact that they're just, everyone has these common stories, and they're kind of things that are only talked about maybe in, like, small groups of women. And
it's true.
We just kind of wanted to, like... exploit like this, like, no,
excellent.
They're feeding me words that aren't true. I don't know, we just, like, hold on a second.
No.
Momentary mental fail.
Yeah, I believe
so
that.
Are you still with
it's
us?
Because I just became aware of, like, my voice in the other room, like, hearing it.
Oh, no, don't listen. It's very confusing. We're on 10
it
seconds.
It is.
Don't listen to the radio. It's very upsetting.
Well, we love breasts. Well, I do anyway. I think
they're
just
that's
great.
What we, I think because, like, there's like, these, yeah, Olivia to get on. Olivia is a member of our group, and she has a completely different take on this. Like, for her, it's a real anti-men kind of thing, but for us, you know, we're a little bit more laid back.
Actually,
we're just kind of trying to just show that, like, there is not this, like, norm or, like, this idealized version of the, like, body. And
I think that's admirable.
Nice. Yeah. I think that's great. We'll be sure to stop by.
So that's Saturday.
Can we touch them?
What's that?
Can we touch the breasts?
Yes, you can.
That's
Saturday, right?
It's Saturday, 3 to 6. Okay, Parkview Avenue, which is in South Oakland. And what you do is you go on Forbes. Like, if you're walking, you'd go down Forbes for, like, the O, and then you turn onto Oakland Avenue. And you go all the way to Oakland Avenue is at the end. And then you turn right, and right there is Oakland Square. And if you go down Oakland Square, Parkview Avenue is off of Oakland Square.
Oh, okay, so I know where this is. This is that road that's on the ridge right next to the gorge.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it'd be looking over, like, it's the park view.
Fabulous.
Very nice.
It encodes its own location.
Yeah.
So, actually,
thank you very much for calling. And actually, if you wouldn't mind, I would like you to leave your, if possible, if you're interested in this, leave your number with the producer so I can talk to you about having you on a future show to talk about breasts, if you're interested.
Oh, we'll talk about breasts. We know all about them.
Oh, excellent. So if you could leave some kind of contact information with our producer that after we get you off the air, that would be so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah, we'll
thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, breast waiting.
Thanks. Pity committee.
Pity committee.
Yeah.
Sort of a cool impromptu interview.
Great. That was fabulous.
Nice plug.
So food and sex, popsicles, breasts.
What haven't we covered tonight?
Oh, the secret shame thing was actually really interesting. We probably don't have time to go into this in much detail, but you were just telling me, Jen, or you're Joey.
Joey.
How even though you have all this sex, it's all, none of it is particularly degrading. In fact, the only kind of sex I have is degrading. I'm actually really surprised about this. I mean, you know, if there isn't a golden shower involved, I'm not even there.
Oh, no, thank you. I will not be urinated upon.
Oh,
no. I really have, like, Leave It to Beaver, wholesome kind of sex, you
That's
know?
That's so disappointing. I mean, if it's not degrading, I'm not even interested. I mean, I really go for that kind of thing. So,
I'm definitely interested in trying some more, like, raunchy stuff, I guess is the word. I don't know. I'm not necessarily into degrading, but...
Just how raunchy are you attempting to get, though?
I don't know. Like, I'm really liking this popsicle thing.
Yeah, you should definitely try it when you get home.
Do you want to make a little road trip to this Monroeville future?
You know what? You know how they have the shuttle to the Monroeville Mall? They really need to get a shuttle going out to this, like, porn store.
They have one in the North Hills, too.
I think that's great.
So, do you want, do you want to, like, attempt this with a partner, or is this going to be, like, you're going to test it out first on your own?
This will be, like, self-exploration. Like, I'll pilot it first.
And then, so once the pilot's been approved by the network,
or, Jen, maybe you could help me.
I would love to help.
You could show me how.
I would love to.
I'd like to witness that one.
We could do that. We could do a videotape.
Cool. We really need to do a real audio and put it on the website. I'd also like just to interrupt and mention that this is WRCT, Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Carnegie Mellon's oldest and wisest radio station. Mm. So, in our last few minutes, what are we going to talk about? We've covered everything, unfortunately.
Have we covered everything?
Let's see.
So, actually, let me just go around the room and ask you. We talked about players. We talked about... there's one thing we didn't cover, which is lines you use on people to get them to do something that they wouldn't ordinarily do, or to get them sort of sexually interested in you. Like, for example, we talked earlier about saying, I've never had a homosexual experience. Even though you have, you sort of, or I've never used ice. I mean...
Well, you might say, you've done something knowing that they haven't, to provoke them, to provoke their interest, and then they'll want to do it. They'll want to do it with you. They'll want to learn.
Or if you have done it, but you don't want that, you want them to think that they're experiencing it with you for the first time. You both are virgins in the world of, like, ice dildos. And so just like, I've heard about this, and I want you to be the one I try it with. You know, then you get the, like, not only have you, if you caught them in your web sexually, but you've also caught them emotionally, too. It's really good.
As long as our ice dildo is involved, it's always good.
I wonder how many people in relationships out there were causing great neurosis for at this moment, being like...
Oh my God, what if that's happening to me?
Well, that's true. After I saw In the Company of Men, I never looked at any guy the same. I was like, and I said I was seeing it with men. I was like, do you guys actually do this? And they said yes. And I was totally disgusted, and it made me look at guys differently. Because, I mean, I've never gone that far. I think that's totally manipulative what they did in the movie. Yeah. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, rent it.
People have to be careful. You have to realize that what you might do to someone else may be doing to you. And you should always think of the comforts and rights of others and do unto others as you want others to do unto you.
It's like the moral of the story at the end of the show.
My high school motto.
It's like Jerry Springer has, like, Jerry's final thought for the day.
I know.
And, like, he's trying to sum it all up.
That's so great. He's so outrageous during the whole show. And at the end, he's like, oh, by the way.
Care about yourself and others.
Well, so what you should do is think of the comforts and rights of others and make sure that for every ice dildo you have one for your significant other. Or not so significant other, as your case may be.
Right.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's definitely when you cross the line where it's mean or you're going to cause them embarrassment or
nervous breakdowns.
Emotional pain. That's the point where you just need to say... no.
Yeah, don't be mean. Don't be mean. Remember, it's all
in
fun.
Yeah, you can be a player, but control yourself.
Yes.
So you don't advocate the sort of destroying someone's emotional makeup for sport?
No, I do not endorse annihilation.
No, I try to avoid that when I can.
Dawson looks puzzled, so...
Oh, I've just seen everyone here in action.
It's true. We've seen you in action, though, so it's okay.
Yeah. No.
So, yes, your final statements. I think you're just setting yourself up so that when you get out into the real world and, like, everyone has heard you on the radio and they're like, I know what you're up to. You're like, no, I'm a very moral individual.
I know. I am a very moral individual.
Didn't you hear my final thought on the Loveline show?
Indeed, on the previous one. What was your final thought on the previous show?
Remember you said smoke cigarettes to get laid, right?
Make sure you smoke a lot.
Right. And I said, what did I say?
You said...
Be mysterious.
No, you said...
Be outgoing.
Flirt and be mysterious. And yeah. I said, start smoking.
Carry Astroglide.
So, yeah, so let's let those be our...
Final thoughts again.
Smoke.
I think that's
keep
great.
On smoking.
Smoke, always carry Astroglide. Keep the ice tray full.
Yes, right. Definitely.
And,
Whips can be good.
Dormfridges. Yes.
It's a massage.
And electricity.
You're really missing out. Actually, I think we're going to have a little training session after the show and introduce you all to the joys of pain because there's an entire...
I'm only regaining sensation in parts of my body now. I'm not sure I'm ready for another go-around.
No more nerve damage.
The nerves
just say no to nerve damage.
Thank you all for listening once again. I think we have to go now. It's been a joy to have you here, Dawson, Joey, and Jen. And as always, producer Kate signing off. This is Sex Talk and saying goodnight.
I am sitting on the sofa. There's a TV in the corner. I am watching Major Nelson. He is played by Barry Hagman. And he found a little bottle and out popped Barbara Eden. But she couldn't show her belly button. All she did was blink.
Good evening, Major Nelson.
Tony Nelson works at NASA with suspicious Dr. Bellows. And there's also Roger Healy, who would become Howard Borden. And Jeannie always means well, but they get in wacky trouble. She folds her arms and blinks her eyes. It's kind of like Bewitched.
Janie!
Yes, Master. Oh, the reruns will continue on the TV as I'm watching the pink smoke of her bottle. I am dreaming of Janie.
Janie!
Da 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 da